Hello everyone, and welcome to the Saudi Investment Bank second quarter earnings call. My name is Seb, and I'll be the operator for the call today. I will now hand the floor over to Siraj to begin. Please go ahead when you're ready.
Thank you, Seb. Good evening, everyone. We are pleased to welcome you to the Saudi Investment Bank's earnings call for the first half of 2024. My name is Siraj Zakaria. I'm handling investor relations here at SAIB, and it's my great pleasure to welcome you all to the earnings call. Please note that our earnings disclosures are available for download from the IR section of our website. Please be aware that this website will be recorded. This webcast will be recorded, and a transcript of this call will be made available on our IR webpage. If there are any members of the media, please be reminded to share your questions separately with SAIB's corporate communications team. I'm joined today by Faisal Al-Umran, Chief Executive Officer, Ahmed Al-Mohsin, Chief Financial Officer, and Shankar Chathanathan, Advisor to the Chief Financial Officer. Moving on to the agenda for today's call, our CEO, Faisal Al-Umran, will start with a brief overview and give the performance highlights for the first half of 2024, and will update you on the bank's strategy. Ahmed will then discuss the financial performance in more detail and present our updated guidance for the full year 2024. We will then open the floor to questions. With that, I will hand over to our CEO, Faisal Al-Umran, to begin the presentation. Over to you, Faisal. Yeah.
Thank you, Siraj. Assalamu alaikum. Good evening, everyone. Thank you for attending our second quarter call. As usual, let's start with the highlight. We have seen a very good growth in our loan portfolio, growing 12% year to date, standing at about 91 billion riyal. That growth was driven by our corporate segment. You'll also notice the growth in the deposits, about 15% year to date, standing at 95 billion riyal. And if you recall, before we said that the growth in deposits we believe is attainable for us, and we will grow based on our balance sheet growth. And I think today the numbers shows that the ability of us growing our balance sheet, and we believe we continue to have that ability in terms of raising the funding at a relatively advantageous cost of funding. Also, you will see a growth in our operating income of about 3% year on year, closing at 2 billion riyal. Also, we have made sure that we continue our cost discipline. You will see that our income cost income ratio stands at 42%. We have said before that during the transformation, we believe that this number could tick upward. But we are so far happy with the ability to manage that level. So we continue to implement our strategy while maintaining that cost income ratio. Also, we were able to have an uptick in our return on equity. We have closed today at 11.9, higher than our previous reported return on equity. And we believe that number will continue to grow. I believe before we have shared in previous calls that we were targeting 12%, and I think now we are hitting that level. But however, we believe that that number is still, there is room to grow in our return on equity. Given also the growth in our assets, specifically our loan book, today we stand at an NPL that is declining. It went down by 3 basis points, so our NPL stands at 1.47, relatively lower than our peers, and with a coverage ratio of 151, as we said, we are very rigorous about maintaining our asset quality and our credit criteria in growing our balance sheet. Also, we are happy where we stand today in terms of our strong capital ratios. It's about 18.2. And we have also stressed before that so far we believe that our capital adequacy and capital standing today supports the envisaged growth for us as SAIB. Further, the liquidity ratios also stand at a healthy 175 in our LCR, which also gives us room to grow our deposits comfortably in terms of managing our maturity profile. If we go to next page, if you allow me, this slide, which is number 5, and the next slide, I will go through them fast. This is basically gives our strategy framework. Our vision is to be the trusted bank for our clients. This is something that we've been thoughtful about, and we try to implement the concept, cascading it everywhere in the group. Why? Because we believe we want to build long-term relationships with our client. We want to be able to win business and maintain business and relationship because of our quality of service, not to be driven by transaction, meaning by price. So this is something we are very rigorous about. Same thing, our mission stands as 3 pillars. 1, we want to maintain long-term relationships. When we start a relationship in corporate or private banking, we are thinking 5, 7, 10 years ahead. We don't want to be transactional bank. We want to be a relationship bank. 2 is the ability to create an excellent environment for our people. SAIB is known to have a good, healthy environment. We want to keep that, and we want to promote it. So because we believe that's one of the biggest factors when attracting talent to the organization. 3, everything we do has to be consistent with increasing our shareholder value. So everything we do, we have to measure what is the value creation of that activity to ensure that it goes to the right direction. We have 4 core segments: corporate, public institution, consumer banking, and private banking. These 4 segments are the ones that we are operating under in the bank. And the enablers are at the bottom, and they are self-explanatory. If you go to the next slide, that gives a breakdown of each segment and what are we envisioning to do in each of them. I believe we have explained that in previous calls. It's just worth mentioning to bring it up again. So if you allow me, I'll move to the next slide, which is slide number 7, that gives an overview of the strategy progress. Today, our strategy, alhamdulillah, is going as we have planned. We are actually progressing faster than expected in some of the areas. Today, we have about more than 40 strategic initiatives. These initiatives are looked at first, a strategy execution committee. That committee is a top management led by the chief executive officer, and there are 2 committees under them, which is the strategy performance committee, ensuring that KPIs are met, and the other subcommittee is the strategy initiative committee, ensuring that all initiatives are being done in a I would say cost-efficient manner and also in a value creation manner. So these 2 committees are under the main committee, and then under them we have work streams for each group or segment. So this is how we manage the project in the bank. So far, I think worth mentioning during the first half. First is that we have launched our mortgage centers. As we said before, we SAIB was not part of the mortgage market previously because we didn't feel that the pricing were advantageous to us. Now we believe we are in a good cycle. We have started our mortgage efforts, and we believe we can. We believe that we have timed the cycle properly, and we want now to look at booking at a longer duration assets. So this is one thing that we have started now. 2, we have already launched a travel account. We are trying to increase our customer acquisition and also increase the usage of our travel app / travel card product. So far, we are the first bank to launch a travel account. Other banks have launched a travel-related credit card associations. However, we have linked it to the actual current account, which have given us also a nice NIBS size in the bank, and we believe that also continues to grow. We have also launched a corporate contracting business. We have created a segment under corporate. We have alluded to that last call, but I think it's worth mentioning that now it is up and running. We have created a group under our corporate banking that specifically looks at contracting. We believe that move will help us first to have better risk management oversight, to understand better those businesses so that we can serve them well. Three, we are able to have, more efficient and productive relationship by consolidating that knowledge all in one team. So this is something has been up and running. So far, we're happy with the progress, and we might replicate this to other sectors that we have higher exposure to. Also, we are looking at our affluent banking. This is a stream that has started a few months ago. We believe that SAIB is properly situated to serve the affluent banking in the market through more of a fine-tuning of products and services to ensure that there is a proper meeting of their needs and also a very smooth customer journey for them. That came also with the ability to have a better risk scoring, and this is something that we are working now on, along with other AI and advanced analytics, to ensure that we have a proper, insight on those activities. So this is on the achievement side. We have also worth mentioning, which is number 6 on the left box, where it says developing IT strategy and roadmap. We believe SAIB was in a good place in terms of our technology setup. However, given the ambitious goals that we have for 2027 strategy, we believe that we have to realign again our IT setup to ensure that we continue to have an advantage compared to our peers. So I would say that's in general where the strategy stands and the highlights so far for the first half. If I move to slide number 8, this is just one example that when we launched Travel App, we have shared this before, but now we are sharing also some of the numbers. We're happy to report that there is more than 200 downloads for the app. The app has been launched recently, but I think given the leading position that SAIB has in this product category, I think we have seen a lot of migration, a lot of acquisition happening in our travel app. Also, given our innovative marketing effort that has been done in London, in Paris, in Dubai, where we promote our products for our Saudi clients, I think that also have been very fruitful for us. We go to slide number 9, and this is the last slide from my side. Commercial loan, if you see, we are maintaining our position in first quarter 27, although we have seen notable growth in our corporate, but it's important for two things. One, we are very aware of our market share, and we want to protect it. Number two, any business we want to do should be very profitable. We don't want to compromise our profitability for market share. We believe that so far we can align our efforts of protecting and increasing our market share while not compromising on our pricing as pricing of our assets. So this is, I would say, on the commercial loans. Retail, so far it is same market share. We believe that number will start to see growth starting 2025 after we have reached, meaningful achievement in some of the tracks in our retail banking strategy transformation. We have also improved funding costs. So far, the reduction in our we have an improved efficiency cost in our cost income ratio, where we see our ratio before standing at 44. Today it's at 42. 44 was 2022, 42 23, and we have said that we believe that number would start ticking up maybe to 43. But I think the controls that have been put in our cost expenditure so far has been very efficient. So we keep implementing the strategy, and we are trying to keep that number within the same range. Lastly is the return on equity. If you see, we continue to tick up. 2023 was 11.7, first half 11.9, and we believe there is still room to grow, inshallah, in this number as we continue implementing our strategy. With that, I think I will turn it over to my colleague, Mr. Ahmed, our CFO, to go over the financial performance.
Thank you, Faisal. Good afternoon, everyone. I would like also to extend my warm welcome to all of you joining us today, and I'm very pleased to report a strong set of results for the first 6 months of 2024. We have seen a solid improvement in most of our core KPIs. If we start from the balance sheet from the top, our total assets have increased by 13.3 billion Saudi riyal during the first 6 months, which represents an increase of 10%. The increase was mainly seen in loans and advances, loans and investments, where we saw a growth of 12.5 billion in those two items. Our loan have shown an increase of 12% year to date and stood at 90.6 billion. On the liability side, we have seen a 15% growth in deposits, where it reached 95.4 billion. Our profitability improved as well, despite the NIM contraction by 36 bps. Net income increased by 9%. And positive jaws contributing to improvement in cost of fund to reach 42.1, and our return on equity registered 11.9%. At the same time, SAIB maintained a healthy assets quality with NPL ratios improving comparing to the beginning of the year. And we also saw the reduction on cost of risk to reach around 33 bps. Equally, capitalization and liquidity were strong and remain supportive of future growth. If we turn to next slide, please. The balance sheet expanded 10%, as I mentioned, during the first 6 months, driven by 12% growth in loan and advances and 8% rise in investment. This was further supported by 6% increase in balances with SAMA, which was partially offset by a reduction in bank placements. This balanced sheet growth was mostly funded by 15% expansion in customer deposits. We will be looking now more closely on each of these items in the balance sheet if we move to slide 13 of these. And starting from financing and loans, our loan books has shown a continued strength with 12% growth for the first half of the year and 7% during the last three months. Most of this growth came from corporate lending, which also grew by 13% during the first 6 months. What we've seen is active participation in financing large infrastructure projects in the syndicated loans continue to support the growth. As we can see in the waterfall charts, we witness widespread credit demand across key economic sectors. We've seen it in utilities, building and construction, commerce, manufacturing, as well as other services. On the retail side, a growth of 9% was achieved, driven by a solid 21% growth in private banking. And we expect strategic initiatives in the mass retail segment to further aid and enhance retail growth in the next 3 to 4 quarters. Moving to slide 14. On the investment side, our investment portfolio increased by 8% year-to-date and reached around 35 billion. Here, we continue to invest in fixed rate debt security to manage our interest rate risk and lock it in higher rates. New investments were mainly in high-quality instruments, either sovereign or international financial institutions. The quality of our investment book remains strong, with 58% of securities being issued by government and 30% by banks and other financial institutions. Moving to the next slide on the deposit side. As I mentioned, customer deposits rose 15% during the first 6 months and reached 95.4 billion. This was driven mainly by 25% growth in interest-bearing deposits, which is reflective of the current rate environment, while we saw non-interest-bearing deposits declining by 4%. Most of this growth came from corporate deposits, which has increased by over 31%, and probably to a lesser extent from retail deposits, where we saw around 20% increase. Treasury deposits, however, declined by 13%. And here, as a side note, I should mention that our public institution business, previously managed under Treasury, has now moved under retail segments. We believe this would reflect better strategic alignments. Overall, this resulted in a further shift in our funding mix, with NIBDs now comprising 30.2 of the total deposits, compared with 36 at the end of the last year. And we anticipate this trend to start stabilizing moving forward once we gain further traction in our strategic initiatives, which are principally aimed at addressing this. Moving to slide 16 on the income statement. As I mentioned, we saw an increase of 9% year over year in the net income, driven by 3% growth in operating income, and was further supported by improved operating efficiency and cost of risk. I will be expanding on the B&L items on the following slides. Starting from the net special commission income, our NCI remains stable at 1.7 billion. Despite the fact that we have seen an increase in average earning assets growth of 13%, the increase in assets was offset by 36 bps NIM contraction. And as you can see in the waterfall chart in the left of the slide, increased benchmark rates resulted in higher special commission income from lending and investment, but this was counterbalanced by higher funding costs. And on the other waterfall chart on the right side, we can see the year-to-date NIM declined by 36 bps to 2.77. This was due to 90 bps rise in cost of funds, as well as shift in deposit mix. Yes, this was partially offset by 55 bps asset yield expansion. On a quarterly comparison, the NIM also declined 30 bps compared with the same quarter of last year. But here, more importantly, we remain stable throughout the current year as we continue to mitigate funding cost pressure with improved asset yield on our new lending and investments. Our expectation for the NIM to be around 2.75 by the year end. Now moving to the fees and other income, slide 18. Fees and other income increased 22% during the first half of 2024. This was mainly driven by robust growth in investment-related income and fees from banking services. The investment-related income shown here, 40, was largely due to mark-to-market fair value gains. And in banking services, fees increase was seen in capital market activities. We've seen it in brokerage and assets management fees, and was also supported by higher trade finance income. These increases were partially offset by modest decline in fixed income. Moving to the next slide, where we'll be going over the operating expenses. Overall, operating expenses were quite stable with 2% increase year over year and reached 850 million. The increase was mainly due to increase in G&A cost, forecasting the overall inflationary environment, and we've seen higher expenses in professional services as well as advertising, which was aimed to support our strategic growth initiatives. Our employee-related cost increased by around 8 million. However, the growth was contained at a modest 2% increase. On the rent, we saw a reduction of 10 million. This was mainly due to the previously leased facility, which was acquired during the first quarter of this year, and the subsequent charge being under the depreciation. The cost to income ratio improved as well. 42 now, booking 42.1 compared with 42.7 as of June last year. And we expect to remain between 41.5 and 42.5 during the year. Turning our attention to the credit quality, next slide, slide 20. Impairment charges decreased by decreased to 244 million, a reduction of 2% from the same for the same period of last year. This reduced our cost of risk by a further 10 bps to reach 33 bps for the first half of the year, reflecting a better credit environment and healthy overall asset quality. Our NPL remain stable during the current year at 1.47, and our NPLs are adequately covered with an overall coverage ratio of 151, while stage 3 coverage, as we can see in the chart on the right corner, has been an improving trend and reached 57.3. Moving to capital and liquidity. Slide 21. Here we say SAIB continues to maintain a strong capitalization and liquidity positions. Liquidity coverage ratio stood at 174.6 and NSFR at 112.8. SAMA LDR reached 77, all at extremely comfortable level despite some moderation in the last quarter. And our regulatory capital was broadly flat at 18 billion during the first half of the year, with the profit generation being offset by dividends payment and the last phasing out of IFRS 9 transition arrangement. Our risk-weighted assets grew by 6% to around 96 billion during this period, driven mainly by the growth in lending as well as in investment. And as a result, our capital adequacy ratio declined slightly to 18.8 with Tier 1 capital ratio at 18.2 and the CET1 at 15.6. We believe this leaves us in a comfortable position to balance growth expectation with the shareholders' returns along with sufficient regulatory comfort levels. Now I'll be moving to the outlook and guidance for 2024. So generally, we expect the economic outlook for the kingdom to remain positive and supportive to the banking sector. Project spending on giga projects and other large infrastructure projects bodes well for the overall credit demand. And we are well positioned to capitalize on this demand through our large exposure to corporate sector and active participation in the large project financing or syndicated loans market. Now, in terms of our 2024 guidance on the balance sheet, and since we have already achieved a massive 15% year-to-date loan growth, this has prompted us to revise our full-year guidance. What we initially projected was 15% growth, but in light of the double-digit growth during the first 6 months of the year, now we are anticipating growth in the high teens range. In terms of profitability, the NIM was at 2.77, and as I mentioned, we expected to be at 2.75 during the year until the year end. Our cost-to-income ratio improved to 42.1, and we expect it to improve further during the second half to reach between 41.5 and 42.5. For our return on equity, we reported 11.9% during the first 6 months, and we expect to deliver above the 12% level for the full year. On our cost of risk, the positive credit experience seen in the first half has led us to revise our guidance range downgrades by around 10 bps to range from 35 bps from initially 40 bps. And on the capital, finally, our expectation for the Tier 1 capital remains unchanged and above 18.75 for the full year. With that, it concludes the management presentation, and we are now happy to answer any question you may have. I will now hand it over to Saab and Hussein from Arqam Capital. Over to you, Saab.
Thank you. If you'd like to ask a question over the phone, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad now, or press star 2 to withdraw your question. If you're logged in to the web portal, you can submit a written question using the chat box in the top right-hand corner of the screen. Currently no telephone questions. I will just hand over to Hussein for any written questions.
Yeah, so we have a question about the effect of 25 bps rate cut on Saudi Investment Bank, NIMS.
Can you please repeat the question?
Yeah, so we have a question about the effect or sensitivity, NIM sensitivity for 25 bps rate cut.
So based on our projections, approximately 1% cut will translate to 3 to 5 bps improving our NIM.
We have another question regarding the news about KFH investment in Saudi Investment Bank. Do you want any further comment on this? You already, I think, announced on Tadawul. So just want to, that was the question.
I think the announcement was clear that the bank have announced about that rumor.
As a reminder, if you have any questions, please write it in the chat. Okay, I think we've answered. There's another question about the NIM sensitivity to rate cuts. I think I answered this. Okay, we have this goal. Can you please discuss competition in the different segments you operate in? And also, could you please comment on the liquidity situation in the system?
Okay, maybe I will answer the first part of the question in light of our core segments. So we have four segments, one that pertains to corporate, one pertains to public institutions, and the others to individuals. In terms of individuals, we see competition very strong on the mass and maybe upper mass. We believe that's a market that SAIB today is not targeting as a core segment. We are tapping that through our travel card and travel product offerings, and from there we are able to, I would say, attract and acquire the customers that would fit SAIB profile. In terms of that segment, if we go higher to the affluent, we don't believe it's served well in the market in general. We believe they are painted with the same brush as either upper mass or private banking, and I don't think that gives them justice. So we believe that's a segment that we can enter as SAIB. As for the private banking, we believe SAIB has a good standing there. We are able to understand client needs. We are able to move quicker than our competition, and we are able to have, I would say, more customized relationship with our customers, given that service model enables those kind of offering to the private banking. So that's I would say where do we sit on the individual segment. As for public institution, we believe that competition is very high there between banks, and mostly it's liability driven and a bit also fees driven. However, we are trying to differentiate ourselves. We believe the cake is the market is very big. There is room, but we believe where we are positioning ourselves, we think competition is low. We haven't seen strong movers there. SAIB have been able to offer some solutions that are, I would say, exclusive and very niche as the compared to the offering in the market. SAIB was able to do the Petty Cash card, which is basically most of the public institution use it today, and they bank with us. So this is something that we believe can attract DDAs, NIBs, to the bank and also generate fees. Also, we have extended that as a corporate card. There's prepaid, there's multi-currency. So we believe the public institution sector, this is how we want to approach it. As for the corporate, we believe the target corporate is, as we said, we believe corporate will grow, and we are seeing the growth now. And corporate is a large segment. So size is, I would say, on the mid to large corporate segments of the whole market. So we're talking about customers that would value relationship, that would value speed, that needs, I would say, more customized solution, would need a relationship-driven bank rather than a transaction. We believe Saib is well situated there. And if you see the growth that we have in corporate, we were able to grow bigger, but we have to make sure that any growth has to be looked at first by the credit quality, two, by the pricing. It has to be value creation rather than just chasing market value. So I'd say these are the three segments where we operate today. As for the second question, for the liquidity, I think يعني, liquidity in general in the system, I think it's clear. يعني, we don't have to يعني, go to details there. But maybe I will answer it under SAIB's umbrella. We believe that liquidity for SAIB is available. If we were to grow, we believe we can source the needed liquidity. We have been saying this before for the last year, and we continue to say it so far. And we said, because we had some questions before about ability to grow our deposits, I think today it shows that we are able to grow our deposits. When we see a profitable growth in the balance sheet, we can source liquid funding. And we believe that continues to be the case.
Okay, thank you. And we have another question about how much does project finance represent from the total loan book?
I believe it's around the question about the projects from the total finance. I think it's around 18%. Correct me, Shankar?
Yeah, it's around 18%.
Okay, thank you again. And we have another question about are you planning to issue debt soon to fund growth further?
I think that discussion is ongoing always. It's happening every day in Treasury. It's happening every month in our ALCO, so I think that keeps to be assessed on a weekly basis. SAIB previously have issued Tier 2 and have issued, it was one of the first bank, I think, was the second bank to issue Tier 1. We had term loan financing before, which has matured, and we haven't renewed it. We don't see the need for it at that time. So I think these venues are always available for SAIB. Today also we have, I would say, appetite for our, if it's a bilateral loan, or if it's a syndicated loan, or if it's a debt market issuance, I believe they're all available. So, but that's left depending on the need, our liquidity. Also, it's not only liquidity, it also could be capital driven. We have also to evaluate the growth that is happening and where do we stand in our capital adequacy, because we want to maintain a very healthy cushion there. So if we believe growth continues, maybe we go to the tier one rather than just going to term loan or a senior unsecured.
Okay, thank you. Another question is, what is the bank's outlook on the mortgage industry?
I think SAIB continues to be very selective. We have not been part of the growth in mortgages before, and I think for SAIB, we have made the right call. Now, we believe the rate environment is favorable. We believe now the maturity is higher in the mortgages and also real estate developers. We believe now we have a better customer base, so that we have more understanding of. So I think for us, mortgages now is an interesting market. In the context of SAIB, we believe there is enough market for us to go and win that segment. But whether it's available, whether it's enough to satisfy all banks, maybe it's not enough. However, given that SAIB always acts as a niche, acts as a selective base, we always have our own approach. I believe we will source the right asset, I would say, mix for mortgages. So we see rates are favorable today than 3 years ago. We believe the recent developers are more advanced today and more mature than 3-4 years ago. We believe the environment, regulatory environment, legal environment is also have matured. And we believe our understanding also is better now for that segment. So I think we can approach it better than we would have maybe 3-4 years ago.
Okay, thank you. Seb, I think we have a call, an audio.
Yes, we have an audio question from Mohammed Arsalan Siddiqui at NCB Capital. Please go ahead, your line is now open.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for the presentation. I need to understand your guidance for NIMS hasn't changed in second Q. That is around 2.75%. Whereas if I see your CASA ratio in last two quarters has been sharply dropped. So, and your second Q NIMS is close to your guidance. So do you see in second half some pressure coming in from cost of fund, which could eventually translate into reduction in the NIMS? That's my first question. And the second is related to the net fee income. If you see in the last five quarters, the net fee income has been very stable, so which is against the industry trend. And the reason which I can see is the expenses related to the banking services. So what these expenses are related to, they have been higher in recent quarters, and how the bank targets to increase the net fee income going forward.
The NIM bars, our expectation still the same. I think the initial, from the beginning, since I think Q4 last year, we anticipated 20.75 for this year. This has continued. And we didn't see any change on it.
Sure, if I want to just add what Ahmed has said, yes, the deposit ratio has, you know, sort of gone down in terms of non-interest bearing deposits being about 30%. That's obviously increased the cost of funds for us from about 4.3 to 4.34. But having said that, the asset yield has also improved. It was 6.72 end of last year, and that's grown to about 6.82. We continue to focus on you know, the loan yields as well as booking new investments at better yields. That gives us the cushion to sort of you know, bear any additional cost of funds that we may have. And that's the reason we've been able to maintain this 2.75. And I think our outlook and our guidance for the rest of the year continues to be at 2.75. As far as fee income is concerned, I think we have not grown significantly, but having said that, we have seen some improvements in terms of trade finance related fees. Brokerage tends to be seasonal in terms of the market goes up, then our brokerage fee income tends to be higher. But having said that, I think overall, we expect an increase of about 15% for the full year in terms of fee income compared to end of last year.
So just for the clarity, is it the 15% growth in the overall non-funded income, or you're targeting this in the net fee income growth?
We are talking about the net fee income growth.
And regarding the expenses related to the banking services, that has been quite higher in the last few quarters, or you know, some quarter in fact. What is this related to? Why those are too high? Because it's what I can see is you're having a growth in the gross level, but because of the high expenses, that's not actually translating into your net fee income. So can you just please comment on this side?
We may not have the specific details of increase in fee expense at this point in time. But having said that, if you look at overall net fee income, we did, I think, about 80 million last year. We are at about 83 million, sorry, that's for the 3 months. For the 6 month period, we have grown from about 151 to 169. And so that's a decent growth for the first 6 months. And I think the second half of the year, we'll see a similar increase or a slightly higher increase.
And for the operating part, and I think as mentioned by the CEO and during the presentation, what we focus on is to reduce the cost to income. This is something we have seen during the last quarter, and we intend to reduce it further.
Okay. One more question regarding your investment book. So can you please share the average duration of your fixed investment securities, please?
It's about four and a half years.
All right. Thank you.
Okay, we have one question in the chat box. How much is Islamic loans percentage of your loan book?
It's roughly about 55% of the total loan book.
Okay, thank you. It seems that we don't have any further questions. It seems that we don't have any further question.
Once again, thank you very much. I would like to extend my sincere gratitude to all of you for your continued attention and interest in the Saudi Investment Bank's earnings call. And with that, we will conclude the earnings call. Thank you very much for your attendance.